I'm Dr. Florence Comite, CEO and founder of the Comite Center for Precision Medicine and Health in New York City and Palo Alto. You can also find us online at CometeMD.com and on Instagram and Facebook at Comite Center. I'm also the founder and CEO of Grok Health, which you can learn more about at Grok Health on all platforms. That's spelled GROQHEALT.
Dr. Comite, we're discussing children and COVID today. Are children susceptible to COVID-19?
They are. Children are susceptible to COVID-19. And so far, 5 million have been tested positive since the start of the pandemic.
Wow.
30,000 children were hospitalized in August alone.
That is incredible. 30,000 in August alone.
Children, I mean, that's overwhelming when you think about it. The average pediatric intensive care unit, or PICU, has about 12 beds. And that means that even a small increase in the number of children can quickly overwhelm hospitals.
Going back to what you were saying, while the pediatric infection and the hospitalization rates are concerning, certainly, kids continue to account for the least hospitalizations out of any age group. I guess we can heave a sigh of relief, but any kid getting COVID is something to concern us.
Yeah, I think any child, I completely agree with you that any child who do get COVID, and you want to make sure that they're hydrated, they're home, resting, relaxing, do what it takes to keep them comfortable. They have a better prognosis in general. And some of the postulated reasons is they're younger and their immune system is healthier. They're not tackled by all the things we end up accumulating with life alone and environmental factors and genetic factors. There's also a difference in one of the variants on the gene called the ACE2 receptor.
Okay.
And I think that's also a factor in children and a little complex to go into, but there is that to be accounted for. If you recall early COVID, a discussion about why adults would get sicker or not, and antihypertensive drugs were thought to play a role. And that's related to the ACE2 receptor, actually.
Okay.
And most children are healthier, right, than adults. They, their weight is different. They aren't exposed to cigarette smoke or environmental factors. So those are reasons that children come through this a little bit better. And hopefully with lifelong immunity, again, that remains to be seen because it could be like the flu, and that's what we seem to be seeing today.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So let's get to the COVID-19 vaccine. Should kids get the COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, children under 12 are not qualified at this point in time to be vaccinated.
Right.
Now, the story is that hopefully by end of year, that will be changing, and that even young children. And we know historically that vaccinations save lives and stop diseases like polio, for example. Measles, mumps, and chicken pox. So I think the fear factor in the States comes from the rapidity of how COVID changed the world and how sick so many people got and how many died. But it's important to children and their caretakers, whether it's parents or child caregivers or nannies or in school, to take extra caution with COVID because these little ones are susceptible to disease. And the least vaccinated states have four times more pediatric hospitalization. Four times.
You said that vaccinated adults can prevent kids from getting really sick. And you think that masks are very important.
That's where I find the classroom and all the duking it out in different states to be, you know, really disconcerting. Because I think that when you realize that there are children, young children in grade school, they're at the highest risk. And that's why the fact is that the least vaccinated states have four times more pediatric hospitalizations. So children are going into the hospital four times as often compared to the most vaccinated states. And the other fact that we do know is that vaccinated adults can prevent severe illness in children, actually irrespective of whether the child has had a vaccine or not. So if you're, you have children over 12 and they've been vaccinated, or children under 12, vaccinated adults have ability to prevent severe illness in children. And the data is there to show that.
So why are pediatric cases increasing so dramatically? I know you're repeating yourself with this, but I think it's worth repeating.
It is worth repeating. I'm bewildered by the fact that the country is concerned in many groups that vaccination is a danger to them. But the issue is that unvaccinated adults increase the risk of disease, and they're putting people who are at risk and can't be vaccinated, and there are immunocompromised adults with cancer or other conditions that may not be able to be vaccinated, that also can get sick. But children under 12 at this point cannot get vaccinated. And the only way we'll reach that without getting them vaccinated is if herd immunity kicks in. And yet, I don't believe that it's going to happen, because I think it requires a more universal understanding that vaccination is vital.
Yeah.
Getting more comfortable with not using masks.
Yes.
One little trick that I've learned, and this came to me through my niece, who's a physician in one of the COVID-based hospitals downstate, is finding one of those little necklaces that are really pretty and wearing your mask so it doesn't become annoying, kind of like glasses when you're older.
Yes.
Reading glasses, and you don't want to wear them all the time because you have to drive and do other things. But by wearing one of these pretty little masks, or you can even find ones for men and young children, the mask stays close to your body and you just pull it up when you need it. Because I think we were all so relieved that we could stop wearing masks.
Yeah.
Many people don't want to wear masks anymore and they don't want a distance, so they take it for granted. And I think with the variant outbreak, it is important to recognize that when you don't know who surrounds you, or if they're unvaccinated people or you suspect it, wear a mask. And you'd be protecting yourself if you think you're in danger, or you think that you would worry about getting sick when you're out and about, just wear a mask. And that, I think, would do a tremendous amount of good.
Should pregnant women get vaccinated?
Absolutely. So I've actually had two pregnant daughter-in-laws through COVID, and either before or during pregnancy, it is ideal. You can pass on these antibodies through the placenta to the baby. So in effect, you're protecting yourself and your baby. Also, women who breastfeed can pass antibodies through breast milk. It's not as much as through the placenta, but it still counts a great deal.
Sure.
And that's true for a great deal of immunity. So that's why breastfeeding is so a preferred route of feeding your baby, although not every woman can do so, and not every baby can breastfeed. So it's not a universal, statement. It's just something that everybody should know. A lot of pregnant women are nervous about it. They're not sure. But there's been a lot of data collected in many countries, in particular Israel, but also in the States, that are very positive. And as far as I know, I have not heard of any negative outcomes due to antibodies and vaccinations during pregnancy.
Let's move on to long-term effects that we should be aware of.
Many adults have noticed that COVID isn't over within 2 weeks. I ignored it because I wanted to get back to work, but there was lots I had to do.
Yeah.
So, but the fatigue was there. And I know from several people that work with me and lots of patients that you don't feel yourself for a while, and it can last a month, it can last a couple of months, or even longer. If you're lucky and you're one of these folks who had the infection, came through it, and had minimal, impact with the infection, you stayed isolated, then the fatigue can still be persistent. So it could change in the way you taste food or food smells. And so it would be advisable to take care of yourself. So our advice when I talk to our clients is, you just want to make sure you heal as fully as possible. I think the concern spills over for children. I agree that we don't have the answer, but I think we have enough that's been done in the past, starting with polio vaccine, that makes a difference in terms of the future. And we don't really see that kind of impact on crucial stages of development for children with other vaccines. So I'm in the camp of let's be optimistic that if you weigh risk benefit for unvaccinating versus not vaccinating, I would err on the side of vaccination. I think the benefits far outweigh the detriment and the concern. Of course, we're going to be vigilant, that's for sure. But I think that that's where I take a stand.
Let's go over the numbers again, because I think that there is the wow factor in the numbers, quite frankly.
Good. I'm happy to do that. So in states that have been vaccinated the least, there are four times as many children who get hospitalized compared to most vaccinated states. So these are states where most adults have said, yes, sign me up. I want to get vaccinated. This is the bottom line. Vaccinated adults prevent severe illness in children, irrespective of the children's vaccination status. If you have children older than 12 and they've been vaccinated, or children under 12 who have not been vaccinated yet, as a vaccinated adult, you're helping save the lives of children around you. And 5 million children have tested positive for COVID since the start of the pandemic. So that's 5 million children testing positive for COVID since the pandemic began.
Wow.
750,000, yeah, between August 5th and September 2nd, 2021. And 252,000 alone were hospitalized the first week of September.
Wow.
The single worst week the pandemic's onset was this week in September, right over Labor Day. In fact, I've heard, and this has to do with the adult population, there are states in our country that are allocating beds in an intensive care unit only to those adults who they believe have the best chance of survival.
Wow.
That is scary.
Wow. Wow. Pediatric versus adult cases. Let's talk about that.
We believe, of course, that the pediatric cases are increasing dramatically due to the unvaccinated adults, and that's geographically dependent. So you can basically look at a map and see where the cases are increasing and why. There's a lack of approval of the FDA vaccine for children under 12 at this moment in time, but that is going to change. And many of us are resuming normal social behaviors, like we don't want to wear masks, we don't want to distance, we want to go into stores and restaurants and be out and about, and especially during the summer, where we can be free to not be behind a mask and not feel that we're, you know, there are barriers between us and people around us. But on the positive note, children generally do have a better prognosis. There are children who have been hospitalized and have reacted to the vaccine, but so much fewer than those who've been hospitalized due to COVID. So that children do have a better prognosis. There's every reason to be positive, but protecting them should be one of the main things we do as a society. And that is not happening everywhere in America. That's astonishing. The fear, does the government have something that they are not telling us? Did the vaccine come about too quickly? Is this a concern? I think when you weigh the pros and cons here, and I have been for close to a year and a half or longer right now, having had COVID in March of 2020 myself, I think that the overwhelming evidence is that getting vaccinated is the way to go. It protects our children. It protects the society. It protects those we love. And those at risk who cannot get vaccinated. I had a case, for example, of a young woman with multiple immunological disorders, and a lovely, lovely young woman. And the school was insisting that she go back to school with a vaccine. There are exceptions. I felt that the vaccination for her would be dangerous based on her history. Mm-hmm. So that's something to be discussed between the an individual who needs to choose to be vaccinated or not and has a medical history that may undermine her or him being vaccinated, and their physician. But other than that, most of us are in a position to get vaccinated. And the overwhelming evidence is that it's going to save lives.
And well, you know, also, there are risks with everything. People point to the breakthrough infections that are occurring. And is that really surprising with a population of 350 million or whatever it is, that there would be a few breakthrough cases? I mean, I guess I don't understand why taking a risk is not something that people are willing to do, not only for themselves and other people, but also for kids.
Exactly. And it's taking the risk not to wear a mask, even for those who've been vaccinated. And for example, the Pfizer vaccine has been shown to have breakthroughs of about 30-35%. And playing it safe, either getting your antibody levels tested, which is rare, or just getting a booster somewhere after 6 months would probably be the safest choice. There's a risk if you don't wear a mask and you've been vaccinated, because you could come down with a mild case of COVID. 95% of those who have been vaccinated with Pfizer have been shown when they get the Delta version or variant, for example, could be mildly ill. Some of them don't even know they've had COVID again. And if you're out and about with unvaccinated adults and unvaccinated children, you're actually going to pass it on. So I have seen that happen as well in the families I take care of. So that's why reverting to the safest possible behavior, wearing a mask that ideally prevents COVID from penetrating, and those are the N95, or there are masks, and we have some of them here at the center, that are infused with zinc and there's other materials that are also protective that are 99% safe, and you should not be getting COVID again, even if you've been vaccinated and the variant is contagious. And we have a history of that when you look at the flu. We're all used to understanding that every year we get a flu shot, for those of us who can get flu shots and choose to get it, because the flu virus changes over time. And the same thing is happening with COVID. And the fact that it's altering means it could slip by the immunity, or the immunity weakens over time. We know that as well. We get boosters for other diseases that we worry about, like tetanus, for example, right? You need a booster every year. It's the same concept. And I think people can't get their head around perhaps the risk factor. Well, I've been safe. I didn't get COVID. I took care of myself. Why do I really need a vaccine? And they're not thinking of the big picture, both of themselves and the world around them. Or they're scared. They don't trust the government.
Yeah, I can see that. But if you sit down and think about it for 2 seconds, but I'm thinking about the flu shot, the regular old flu shot. Just personally, I've had it for 30 years and I haven't gotten the flu. So to me, that's pretty good evidence.
Evidence, right. So, I totally agree. I don't think it's applicable to everyone. I'll give you a personal example again of my father. He got the flu shot and for a year afterwards did have side effects, swelling of joints and discomfort. Ultimately, it disappeared. So he was allergic to something in the flu shot, probably the agent, not the shot, not the part of the shot that would prevent the flu, but the material in which it resided. And so I'm cautious about it. Sure. And yet, overwhelmingly, most people should get a flu shot. And so you need to have that knowledge base. But the risk benefit with COVID is far more tilted towards a risk of COVID making someone sick or leading to death and hospitalization, respirators, than getting vaccinated. And the fact that we have vaccinations have come into our world is just, to me, a miracle. And I'm just thrilled that people have been able to get on with their lives. So to wear a mask for me and for others around me is a small compromise to save the lives of others.
Yeah.
Variants within our own body can change. And so a virus like COVID can alter itself in such a way that our body can't utilize the vaccine that we've gotten. And that's why being revaccinated or boosters are probably going to become the norm. Or we can be affected by new variants that are coming from elsewhere, whether they've been altered by human contact, which I think is the most dangerous. Think of the bite of a human versus the bite of a dog. We are susceptible. Protecting ourselves makes sense. So you had shingles, but you went ahead and got the shingles vaccine, which means that you're protecting yourself yet again, because shingles alone would give you some protection, but you don't know how long that protection lasts and how effective it's going to be for the rest of your life. So you don't really want shingles again, and that's why the immunization matters. And the same thing is true for COVID. Like when I hear of all these variants, I really do believe that we either have to monitor people to be sure their immunity is where it needs to be, or we need to get boosters. And the boosters and the drug companies have to continue to be vigilant about developing vaccines that will protect us from newer variants. Yeah. And that's how it works. Yep. It's going to be a continual concern.
Yes, yes. And we're learning so much every day. I mean, we don't have all the answers, but the answers we do have should give us a little bit of optimism. And
we're all living our lives. Most people have come out of, you know, their apartments and their homes and being isolated. And I think that in and of itself was detrimental to so many.
Yeah.
I feel fortunate having had COVID myself. I was able to work through it from home. Nobody around me caught COVID from me. So that gave me a lot of peace. The exposure was there, but a year later, the variant is far more contagious. And the same thing can happen with the flu. And so I think we need to know that. Like, my own husband and relatives caught the new versions of COVID, the Delta version, very quickly. Whereas at the beginning, it was contagious, but not to the extent it is now. I'm also grateful that none of my clients or patients were hospitalized.
I know, that's amazing.
From the center. And that's the other way to protect yourself. Get healthy. Understand that just because you might feel okay, look around what's in your family. The whole way we precisely follow individuals is by understanding what their risk factors are. And if there's diabetes and heart disease and cancer in your family, and who doesn't have that in their family because we age?
Sure.
And that's when our immune system breaks down, and that's when those conditions emerge. But the truth of the matter is we're wired way ahead of time. And by keeping ourselves in good shape and understanding what we're about is going to be another way to protect ourselves. All of us look for that during COVID. What should we take? Should be beyond C or D or zinc? I'd like to put a plug in here for Grok Health, because that's what we're hoping to do. We're hoping for people to understand what's going on with their bodies internally. And I think that would be a great gift, the gift of health you give yourself.
By the way, I just finished a book called The Great Influenza, about the 1918 outbreak. It gave me a greater understanding of what's happening now.